Welcome to worship, everybody. Now we're going to install and ordain deacons and elders. So if the following people would come up, your name's in the bulletin, Greg's going to read them.
Anna, for the office of deacon, Anna Callahan, Macy Chan, Jin Lee, Travis and Pamela Mita, and Betty Tang. And for the office of elder, Peggy Albert and Bob Brown to be installed. Bill Johns, Eric Schaefer, and Trevor Walker to be ordained and installed.
Just come and take a stand up here on the step, if you would, a little bit so people can see you. And these are amazing people. The office of deacon is more of a hands-on ministry where we care for those in need. Office of elder is administrative role, policy-making role, business role. So we're so glad that all of you have agreed to serve. We're grateful to God for touching your hearts to respond to this very important call. So now I'm going to ask you some questions.
Hold on one second.
Yes.
We're also reinstalling Greg Orr and Judy Van Gastel. So if they're here,
okay.
Can come up.
Greg Orr and Judy Van Gastel. Thanks.
Judy, and yep, there's Judy. I don't see Greg.
Judy McDowell is going to be clerk. She's in the bulletin, but she's not a member of session because that was an error. So she's sitting here, but she's not up here. So that's why. All right, I'm going to ask you some questions. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, our Savior? Acknowledge Him Lord of all and head of the church, and through Him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal and God's Word to you? If so, please say, I do.
Do
you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? If so, please say, I will. Will you fulfill your office in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? If so, please say, I will. Will you be governed by our church's polity? And will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's Word and Spirit? If so, please say, I will.
I will.
Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? If so, please say, I will.
I will.
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? If so, please say, I will.
I will.
So these questions are for the new elders. Will you be a faithful elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? If so, please say, I will.
Will
you share in government and discipline, serving in governing bodies of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? If so, please say, I will.
I will.
And to the members of the congregation, do we, the members of this church, accept these individuals as elders and deacons, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? If so, say, we do. Do we agree to encourage them to respect their decisions and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? Do we? I'd like to ask all the currently serving elders and or elders who have served in the past to come up for laying out of hands for the prayer.
Okay. Let us pray together. Lord God, we're so grateful for these folks who have agreed to serve in your name here at West Valley Presbyterian Church at this time in this place. We pray that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit so that they can fulfill this call that you've put upon their lives out of the abundance of your grace that they experience day by day. We pray that you would lead them and guide them. We pray that you give them clarity of thought and mind. We pray that you would give them compassion, the compassion that you showed to the world when you became human in Jesus Christ, that they would see people with your eyes and love the way you love. We pray, Lord, that you would always encourage their hearts and that we as your people in this congregation would help them and support them to do your work. Oh, Lord, bless them with a special measure of your love this year especially, and make them aware of what you're telling them to do, whether to go to the right or to the left. And when there's people in need, Lord, bring them to mind. And when there's things that need to be changed, help them to know what those things are and how best to go about changing them. And, Lord, thank you for this congregation. Bless these folks, and thank you for their willingness to serve. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus, who died for us and who saved us. And everyone said, amen. Would you welcome them? Thank you so much.
I hope you guys got a good taste of what we did all week. We went to Mexico. How many of you guys have been to Mexico? You have been to Mexico. That's really great. It's very different in Mexico. They have a different culture. They speak a different language. The houses look different. It's completely different, right? And I brought something to show you. So this is 22 pesos. And they use pesos in Mexico, so you guys can pass that around. And 22 pesos is about a dollar and a half. A dollar and a half is 22 pesos. So even the money is different. The money looks different. It's just different currency. It's just so different. And sometimes the language barrier was kind of different. What I did is I got to go into the classrooms, and they would come to me, and we did lessons. We did lessons with the kids. We taught them all about the different parts of a tree and different parts of leaves. And it was really cool. But the most important thing that we taught them is, I guess paying attention, Cristo me ama. What do you think Cristo me ama means? Do you think Cristo me ama is in English? What language do you think it's in? Yeah?
Spanish.
It's in Spanish, and what do you think it means? Do you know what it means?
Jesus loves you.
Perfect! Jesus loves you! Cristo me ama. Do you think you guys can all say that together? Cristo me ama. It means Jesus loves you. And even though we were hundreds of miles away in a different country with different money and different houses and different languages and all those things, Cristo mi ama. We still worshipped and talked about and loved the same God and the same Jesus that came for all of us. And I think that was really cool. It's the same thing I teach you guys in Sunday school. Jesus loves me. Cristo mi ama. Right? It's the same. And so that's what God talks about when he talks about in the Bible being a body of Christ and being the church of Jesus, right? The church of God. It's not necessarily the building. It's the people who love God all together. So we are part of a huge body of people who love God all across the whole world. So it's pretty cool that we got to hang out with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's just pray together, and we can thank God for this opportunity that we have. Dear God, we thank you so much for just the opportunity that we had to go and love on our brothers and sisters in Christ. And thank you that you are such a big God that spans the entire world. And that when we pray to God, when we pray to you, we know that there are millions of other people around the world who are also praying to you, no matter in what language. And help us to just continue to partner with them for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. So as the project leader, it's my job to get you inspired by all the projects that were done that everybody's now going to give testimonies about how wonderful they were. And if they're like me, they're still feeling some pain in various places. But this team worked very, very hard, all 37 of them, and everybody wanted to help. On Sunday, we learned what we would be working on. And in the next 2 minutes, I want to give you a sense of the magnitude and variety to inspire all of you to come next year. Rod, the ranch manager, gave us 14. If you complete these projects, it'll be an absolute miracle. He gave us 2, beyond belief, if you can get to it, projects. And he gave us 2, really these are for the next group, but I don't want you to be bored, projects. We finished the 14, and we actually got 1 of the additional projects done. So what were they? There were 4 projects in the medical dental building that we had actually laid the foundation for last year. First, we had to put up 4 ceiling fans, 3 fluorescent lights, install about 40 feet of baseboard, caulk, install 3 vanities, remove and repair sheetrock around 20 electrical boxes, and I can't read my writing. Oh, and installation of the reception desk and a shelf. All of that was accomplished by the team through the week. The second project in the dental facility was installing a gutter on one side of the building. We completed this project except for 4 feet because, as things happen in Mexico, we didn't quite have enough supplies. So there's still 4 feet that another group will have to put up. Our third project in the medical dental building was figuring out why everything, even though it was wired, when you plug something into it, there was no electricity. Thank God Bruce Ramirez was on the trip. Bruce became Rod's favorite person, as you'll hear as we get through this. Bruce figured out that the team that sheetrocked in the building simply covered up a number of the boxes. And so it was hooked up to the main panel, wasn't actually power. Better than that, none of the GFI plugs worked because they had wired them a little bit incorrectly. So Bruce spent a fair amount of time, as you saw in the video, on his hands and knees trying to figure out why there was no power going to where it was going to. So outstanding job on that. Our fourth project in the medical dental building was cleaning the entire floor, taping all the baseboarding, and painting about 80% of the facility with a floor epoxy paint. That was also completed. Our fifth project, as you saw a little bit in the video, was from our sewing team. We watched God truly work here this week, and you should really talk to one of the members of that sewing team to kind of get the in-depth story. But they first worked on and finished in the first day 7 valances and putting up those valances in the new game and meeting room for the facility. It was then things got very interesting because one of the teachers for the special ed kids came and said, "We really need weighted pillows and blankets." And, of course, the first question was, well, what's a weighted pillow and blanket? Well, we'd like you to put rocks in the pillows and blankets to weight them because the weight makes the kids feel more comfortable. And sure enough, the team got together, and by the end of the week, they had done 6 or 7 pillows and 2 blankets, and these blankets each have inserts in them that can be pulled out so they can be washed with 3 or 4 smooth rocks in them. Absolutely an amazing task. I recommend you see one of the sewing team for that complete story. Our sixth project was installing 2 posts and putting up about 80 feet of chain link fence. Doug Gipps never wants to hear the words chain and link together ever again. But we got the job done despite having no clamps initially and not the right equipment to be able to put the fence up with. But by the end of Thursday night, the entire 80 feet of chain link fence was around the septic and protecting the kids. Our seventh project was working with the kids in the school, and you saw a lot of that in the video. Both Sarah and Lori Curry coordinated a week's worth of activities with all 140 kids in the classroom, and actually for the first time they came up to our facility where we were staying for some of their crafts and activities. Our eighth project, and you saw this one, was the famous septic tank project. We got to fill with dirt an old septic tank that was no longer being used. And I want to give you a sense of the magnitude of the project. The septic tank was 12 feet square by about 10 feet deep. We had a backhoe and a bulldozer to help us scrape the dirt off the trucks, but we had to actually shovel the remaining and then try to cover it up with shovels. To give you a sense, we moved in those 3 days the equivalent of 5 full dump truck fulls of dirt into that septic tank over that time. But it's now safe and covered. Our ninth project was to remove 4 clothesline poles. So we had to carve them out of where they currently existed, dig them out, and reinstall them behind one of the new buildings. That project was completed with no problem, except we came to call our team that worked on those projects the team we can dig holes team, because they dug a lot of holes during the week. We also dug a hole for a new lamppost next to one that was falling down. Now, none of the lampposts on the facility worked when we first got there. So another one of our projects was Bruce going around figuring out why none of the lampposts actually lit at night. But by the last night, when you looked around, all the lampposts on the farm all worked. So that was great. Then we dug two big storm drains. As you know, water comes in big amounts, and they like to try to capture it as much as possible. And so we dug two storm drains, one 5 feet by 4 feet long by 2 feet wide. So 5 feet deep, 4 feet long, 2 feet wide, and another 3 feet by 4 feet by 2 feet. Put in wood forms and then cemented those forms before the end of the week. And then the project you saw also in the video, our 13th project, was trenching about 130 feet to reroute a main water line. Ordinarily, this would have been just a tough job of trying to dig through the clay, but we had 7 or 8 electrical wires that were going underneath that same place we were going that we had to watch out for, and as it turns out, 2 water mains, which we hit both of. First one, I was using the jackhammer and hit it, and let me tell you, when you got 40 pounds of pressure in a main water main, it comes at you really fast. That was a little bit interesting. So we had to shut off water to the entire ranch, made the kitchen crew feel really good, get that repaired. And about 3 hours later, I'm working with Brian, and Brian decides he can find the other one. We were told it was 24 inches down. We're digging about 7 inches down, and sure enough, poosh, water in the face. We had to shut the water off again, twice in one day. We're pretty good at water mains. But we got that pipe all in on the last day, and we got the entire trench covered up and all the water back on, and the water was rerouted about around the facility. Our 14th project in that list was all the cement projects, and you saw a fair bit of this in the video. But we actually worked through filling with cement 10 feet high, so this was not a flooring or a base. We were actually filling in 10 feet high, a gutter with about 6 feet of width and about 12 inches of depth. We did that for about 200 feet on the new junior high building. We filled the 4 clothesline poles, we filled the 2 storm drains, we filled the 2 chain link poles, and we filled the light pole. How much cement was that during the week? I did a little calculation. Each mix in that mixer is about 760 pounds. Made up of 110 pounds of cement, 40 pounds of water, 250 pounds of rock, and 360 pounds of sand. So by the end of the week, we had moved 30,400 pounds of cement and earth to various places on the ranch from the cement mixers. So a little over 15 tons. Not bad. Our 15th project was then, Rod said, well, if you got all that done, one of the sides of one of the buildings was badly chipping from the sun, and so we scraped, sanded, and painted that building. So as you can tell, the team worked really hard. And each day started at breakfast with me announcing Plan A for that day's activities. And true to form in Mexico, there wasn't a single day by 8 o'clock that Plan A still existed. Matter of fact, on one day we were on Plan F when we first started, because you just got to do things as they come up. So you just kind of roll with it. But truly, it was a God thing in Mexico, and it was on Mexico time. And hopefully, the stories that you'll hear for the rest of the service will kind of give you some backdrop on what some of these projects meant. Mike.
Now, Greg, how many years have you gone on the Mexico trip? Yeah, so Greg's gone. How many folks have gone 5 times? All right, Greg's on. How many people have been there 4 times? And then others who may, yeah, so we've got some over here. 3 times, 2 times. And how many, this was your first time? Yeah, yeah. So you can see we had lots of first-timers this year. I was one of the first-timers, so Kim asked me to talk from the perspective of a first-timer. So a couple of thoughts. One, I've resisted going on this trip for 5 years because it sounded like a lot of work and it was a long car drive. And frankly, I just was exhausted hearing the stories. But I got up. My wife has gone 3 times, so I got up my courage this time. And what an amazing trip. The first impression for me was looking at all the work that our church has done over the last 5 years. And so people would point and say, we built that foundation. We put that building up. We painted that building. We installed wires or plumbing on this other building. And truly the magnitude of the work that our church has done over the last 5 years and the magnitude of work that we did this time was mind-boggling. So, West Valley, you've done a great job. The other thing that impressed me was the devotion of the teachers and the house parents there at Rancho Santa Marta. So they have about 40 children who are kind of the orphan children whose parents have either abandoned them or they just show up and there's no parents there. So they live there year-round. And then there's about 100 students who are bused in. Some students, it takes an hour and a half to get to school in the morning and then an hour and a half to go home because really we're out in the middle of nowhere and this is quite a facility. So the inspiration of the staff who labor in these circumstances year-round was, to me, exceptional. The third impression I had was the unity of the spirit among the team. And so we had, you know, truly an intergenerational team. I loved getting to know my fellow team members, the high schoolers and their youth leaders. We have a tremendous high school group, and the youth leaders are amazing. And all the other adults were just a delight to be with. So just sensing the spirit working in all of our lives. We had a Bible verse for the week. It came from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, which reads, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith. Be courageous, be strong, do everything in love." So we recited that verse together in the morning, and then around the campfire in the evening, we had more of a discussion, and we had some wonderful discussions around the campfire. The first night I had the thought, and I shared with the team, that I believe that God had called every member of the team to be there specifically, that nobody was there by accident. So I challenged everyone during the week to think of what did God bring you here to give? And what did God bring you here to receive? And I think as you hear some of the stories from the young people, that will play out. And then my last thought was Rancho Santa Marta truly is kind of an oasis of hope in a huge Baja desert. And so it's worthy of our support. Our church has supported them for many years. And my hope is that we will continue to expand our involvement because they're truly doing God's work there in Baja, California. So thank you.
So this is my second time going to Rancho, and I went for one kind of goal, which was to have my parents experience it. So I was kind of there, like, dragging them along for, like, the past year, trying to encourage them to go. And it turned out that it was more for me personally because it was more of an eye-opener. I got to see the kids more than I ever did the 2 years ago I went, so I skipped a year. And it was really enlightening, I suppose, because I got to see more of what I was doing with the work. So I'd have a project the first time I'd go, and I'd just do it, and I'd know that it was helping someone, but I wouldn't really see how it was helping them. And this year, I got to experience how it was. So I find that I really want anyone to go. I really want everyone to go. Sorry. And it was just something that I can't really explain very well because it was really touching to me. And I just hope that my parents got to understand what I was feeling that first year and that everyone else on the trip that was going for the first time could also. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Megan. This is my first year going, actually. And my sister went in the past, and then this is my first time I was going, I guess. And I came not knowing really what to expect. I know I was there to serve and, you know, learn some new things about other cultures and, you know, about myself a little bit. And definitely I was very nervous going for the first time, and without my parents, without my siblings, maybe, yeah, and then, anyways, so So I was nervous, and definitely I'm like a homebody. I like really love to stay home and like with my family, but this got me to step out of my box a little bit. And, you know, meeting everybody, the team, it was very enlightening because I realized on my own that not without my family, I made a new family. And it was, it kind of brought some like new perspectives on life. And I really appreciate that. And going on this trip taught me a lot. It very taught me a lot. And so I think it'd be great if anybody could experience this, you know. So it's good for young people to go and older people to go too. Anyways, thank you.
My name is Ryan. This was my first trip to Rancho Santa Marta. You heard Mike just a moment ago read the scripture verse that was our theme for the week. And one of the aspects of that verse is be strong. So my story, testimony is a little bit about that. The first day we were there, met a young man named Octavio, who you might have seen in the video or in the slideshow beforehand. And Octavio is a very cheerful guy. He lived on the ranch. And when I first met him on the first Sunday we were there, he indicated that his choice of greeting was to give a chest bump. And so he comes up to me, chest bump, chest bump. And so we do the chest bump. And Octavio wasn't a very big guy. He was pretty small. And so he got the worst end of the chest bump and fell back a few feet. And so he came back to me and he said, he indicated that he wanted me to teach him how to chest bump better. And so I was like, well, you got to get on the ground and start doing push-ups. And so we got on the ground and we did a few push-ups together. And he promised me that he would work on his push-ups and by the end of the week he would be stronger. So the last day we were there on Thursday, I think some of you guys witnessed this, we were over at the trench digging and Octavio comes and finds me and he's like, hey, Ryan, chest bump. I was like, okay. So we chest bump again, and it was no different. I don't think he'd gotten any stronger. But I decided to humor him, and so I was like, whoa, you know. And so I went flying back, and I think I made his year by humoring him. And so we laughed and hugged and said our goodbyes. And later in thinking about that exchange, I came to appreciate more the irony of that. You know, Paul says in Romans that we who are strong are to take on the obligation of bearing the failures of the weak. And I think that the easy correlation to draw with that for us in the context of this trip was that, you know, we, the strong ones, are going down there to use pickaxes and jackhammers and lift cement and help the people there with all the projects they need to get done. But really, they're the ones teaching us about strength and about being strong. And, you know, true strength isn't how much you can shovel or how much cement you can lift, but it's about smiling effortlessly even when you have so little, and it's about celebrating the blessings and the provision of Christ even when you've been abandoned and rejected by the state, by other schools, and even by your own families in a lot of the cases of the kids there. So that's my takeaway from this trip, that I went down to Rancho Santa Marta and, you know, 40 of the greatest kids you could ever meet taught us how to be strong instead of the other way around. Thank you.
So, I'm Connor, and this was my fourth year going, and it was much different than last year, but I would say there was a lot more work than last year, and I think the drive up was quicker coming back this year. That was good. And it was hard to get myself to come this year because I just started a new job, so it's hard to miss the first week, but I came anyways. And so I liked working with the cement and doing the carpentry, and there was a lot more work than last year, and I liked showing that I could do a lot of work to help other people, so that was good. And seeing the children in Mexico and all the people, old and new, seeing new people come with us from the church, that's always fun. And one thing I particularly liked was when we came, after we came up on Sunday, we went to the church on the ranch, and they made us write out a prayer request for everyone to do, and I don't usually give prayer requests, but it was good because it helped me express myself, and it was good spiritual every night, doing prayers and helping other people and building things for other people to help. And it was good seeing God help us finish the projects and be welcoming to everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Connor. We had prayer requests distributed, so we filled out one color card, and those folks filled out another color card. West Valley Rancho had different colored prayer cards, so we're praying for them, and they're praying for us. And so thanks for mentioning that, Connor. That was great. Thanks for sharing. I'm going to lead us all in prayer now, and then Sandy is going to close us with the Lord's Prayer. She's going to close us first in Spanish, and then you can join her in English. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you so much for these wonderful testimonies. What an amazing God you are to call us to serve others. And then when we do that, we realize we receive even more than we give. And we realize what we can learn from one another and the power of community and the power of sacrificial love and how that changes and transforms us. Thank you so much for this team who went to Mexico, and thanks so much for this congregation who is praying for us all the way. Thank you for hearing us, Lord. Thank you for your protection during that time. Thank you for your call. And thank you for showing us the value of following in your footsteps. Lord, you said, whatsoever you do to one of the least of these, you do it to me. And we can hardly believe that's true, that we were ministering to you, Lord, but that's what you said. And we're so grateful and honored to be able to spend a week of our lives just doing that. Lord, we thank you for all who come to worship here on Sunday, and we pray for those in need, those who are sick, those who need your encouragement this morning, Lord, those who are in need of employment or simply in need of a friend. Lord, I pray that you would bless our congregation in such a way that we can know the needs and follow up on people who long to know you in a deeper way, that we would be your hands and feet right here in West Valley. We lift up especially this morning Steve Johns to you. We pray for continued recovery from his surgery and complete and total health. We pray that you'd be with the doctors as they perform yet another surgery on him. Ask, Lord, that you would guide their hands and make this successful. Lord, for all who are ill, who suffer with health concerns, we lift them to you today, Lord. Again, Lord, we ask that you would guide us into the future as your church, that we might continue to serve and be faithful in all the ways you call us to follow you. Thank you for your blessings in so many ways. And Lord, we ask that you would be with us now as we listen to the prayer you taught us to pray in Spanish, and as then we join Sandy in the English version of that prayer.
Padre nuestro que estás en los cielos, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga a nosotros tu reino. Hágase tu voluntad, así en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Y perdónanos nuestras deudas, así como nosotros perdonamos a nuestros deudores. Y no nos dejes caer en la tentación, mas líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, el poder y la gloria, por los siglos y de los siglos. Amén. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Bill, and this was my first trip to Rancho Santa Marta. Like maybe a couple of the others, I had avoided it for a few years. Doug kind of twisted my arm and said, "We could use your skills down there." So I said, "Okay, I'll come." It was a long and grueling drive, and I was one of the drivers. And by the time we got down there at 9 p.m. after leaving here at 4 a.m., it was pretty tiring and, you know, exhausting. And so I went to bed, and but the next morning got up at sunrise, and I went out, and you saw the beautiful scenery around there in some of the video. The sunrise was just illuminating the valley, the beautiful hills, and it just brought a peace on my heart. And I said, "Wow, I'm so humbled to be in this place and so glad that God brought me here. This indeed is a special place that he has set aside for a wonderful purpose." And that's kind of how I felt the whole week. Just so many things reinforced that feeling. We visited the mission. Here's the old Spanish mission, which was the legacy for this school. They brought Christ's word to the indigenous people, maybe not in such a friendly and helpful way, unfortunately, as the Spanish came in, but nevertheless, it established Christianity there. And this school now picks up that legacy in the modern era and does a much better job of helping those kids in the region that so much need to be introduced to Christ's word and given the opportunity to be raised and brought up in that wonderful school. Another reinforcement was when we had the church service at their beautiful little chapel. And it was just such a lively and wonderful service. They were truly inspired. They were dancing and singing and worshiping with joy. And Kim had a great message speaking about the Christ's love is worldwide. It doesn't matter what culture and custom and country you're in. It is truly the world's church, and the Mexico country is part of that, and we're part of it here. So because of Christ's love for all of us, we're joined together as one. And that was a great, great talk, which they liked also. The concept of praying for each other. And then other things that touched me was the teamwork of our intergenerational team that went down there, the 37 people who just worked so well together. I was so impressed with the way the kids responded when they came on, some of them as our apprentices for some of the technical work and the laborers for moving wheelbarrows and shoveling cement. And it was just whatever we called anybody to do, they eagerly responded and with strength and courage. And then the fireside experiences each night led by Mike Clark and the singing with Trevor. It was, and Ryan, just great. It brought a nice close to each evening, opportunity to share our experiences and just reinforce that thought of being so humbled to be there and experience all this and be able to benefit these kids, which was really the reason for our trip. So that's how I felt.
Leaving me? Good morning, I'm Brian. It's my first trip. What I took away from this experience, there was so much. Six friends. commitment, the dedication. I truly had a lot of concern. Why am I going? Yeah. I got an email from Pastor Kim. God wants you to go to Santa Marta. I discussed it with my wife, and it was not my ideal vacation spot. So I really worked hard to get there, and there's so much that transpired before I even left to get there. And it involved, you know, incidences and things that just weren't explainable, but they're very understanding if you're a spiritual person, like Pastor Kim. And like when I went to go get my passport, I went to stop and get gas, and my bank card wouldn't work. So I had to drive home, and I'm stressed out, telling Victoria, bank card's not working, call the bank. She calls the bank. The lady says, you're inputting the wrong PIN number. I know my PIN number. I look, and on their shelf, there's a couple photos that I had to have for my passport that I had forgotten to take with me. So I grab them, get to the gas station, use the PIN number. It worked. It's like, no explanation for me, except for Victoria thought to say, well, had you not taken those pictures, had you not come home with them, you wouldn't have gotten your passport. You wouldn't have been able to succeed. And so things happened for a reason. And then when I got my passport, I met a woman who, when I shared my experience about parking and the frustration of trying to get a passport, and she said to me something along the lines, I bet your wife suggested that God wanted you to go. And I acknowledged that. And then when I shared, this, she said, yeah, the only time I've ever parked in this parking garage was to get a passport. So she and I had that in common. And then she said, I'm also an ordained minister. And she said, God is there. And I was just blown away by that. So fast forward, we're there, and we're interacting with these beautiful children. And my goal was to go there and to prove my worth. And I'm being very honest. I wanted to go and show everybody that I was capable. I could measure, I could cut, I could nail, I could hammer, I could paint, I could do whatever you ask of me, and that would show you my worth and my value. And that's not what it was about at all. And all of the youth, I've never been so impressed with young people. And they have their Bibles, and they know their scripture. And I was so impressed at night when Mike would have us read, and they'd all be going through their Bibles, and they were so dedicated and prepared and ready and committed. And so I've taken a lot away from this, more than I could have imagined. And then personally experiencing an accident. And then the people. And then Thursday night, we had this special prayer. And two remarkable young women who sat with me. And I've never had that experience before. And to have people put their hands on you and pray for you and pray with you and accept Jesus Christ. So if I could lighten it up a little bit, I got a new nickname. I forget. What was it? Bolt. So I'm grateful, and I would welcome anybody. If given the opportunity, please take advantage of it. Thank you.
Well, that's difficult to follow. I just wanted to say that the church service for me was very moving. And when they started singing the songs in Spanish at the beginning of the service and had the words up there, I took Spanish in 1962. And, you know, phonetically, you can sing along with the words if you read them. And it was very moving. I got choked up doing that. And then Monday night, my week took a turn as I tripped getting out of the fireplace. And my good doctor, Terry Diaz, patched me up. And then Tuesday morning, she patched me up again. Anyway, I mention that because I was moved by you folks, so loving and caring. And the way you came in and visited me all day, I was laid up. I was taken out of the lineup for 2.5 days. So I missed a lot of the fun. But these guys were there to visit me, pray with me, bring me meals. Brian and Bill were there every day bringing me meals and eating with me. But anyway, I was moved by this group. And Terry is the true nurse because she even came in one day and played cards with me because I was bored. Anyway, and on the last day, I was able to join the sewing group. So I know how to cut 4-inch strips and a few other things now.
Hi, I'm Sukja. As a seminary student, I'm going to reflect our mission trip from theological and biblical point of view. First of all, I think our team was a true embodiment of diversity. For instance, Daniel Curry, Haptu, and myself added some colors to the team. Otherwise, we'd be totally white, right? So, two metaphors of the church I truly experienced during this trip. The family of God of the church, and the second, the body of Christ. You've been hearing intergenerational interactions. That was truly happening, and I was very impressed with our high schoolers. They were just awesome kids, and I felt we have a hope in this world through how they are interacting with others and so obedient to older folks. So I felt like we were one big family. And especially, I adopted Marva as my spiritual mom while I was working on the sewing project. Regarding the body of Christ, each one of us worked on different projects with obedience. And living together 24/7 and taught me how to embrace the differences of others. And I would like to sum up what we did in Rancho Santa Marta by citing Pope Francis' Lent message this year. He said that no need to throw out the chocolate, booze, or carbs. By quoting the early Christian mystic John Chrysostom, no act of virtue can be great if it is not followed by advantage for others. So no matter how much time you spend fasting, no matter how much time you sleep on the hard floor and eat ashes and sigh continually, if you do no good to others, you do nothing great. Pope Francis addressed that we should do activities to enrich others. By the same token, we went down to Rancho Santa Marta to enrich the lives of the poor and the needy. We gave up our comfortable lifestyle and sacrificing our school time to embody self-giving love of Christ. By serving the underprivileged community in Rancho San Amado, I felt so blessed to be part of the great team. Thank you.
Thank you, team. And we have so much to be thankful for.
We're going to have a brief video to just talk about Ezra for a minute. Just bear with us. It's a 2.5-minute video.
Before the Israelites left Babylon, the king of Persia, who had overthrown Babylon, decided to help them rebuild the temple back in Jerusalem. He organized people from all over the land to give livestock and supplies to the Israelites. He even returned all of the gold and silver that the Babylonians had stolen from the temple. 50,000 Israelites returned to Jerusalem and rebuilt the altar of the temple, then laid the foundation for the building itself. Before the temple was even finished, the Israelites began to offer sacrifices and worship God in it once again. But other countries surrounding Jerusalem began to worry about the Israelites regaining power. So they sabotaged the rebuilding project, and it came to a standstill for 16 years. But God used two men, Haggai and Zechariah, to encourage the Israelites to resume building the temple and not to be afraid of their enemies. So they continued building, strengthened by the prophet's words. The opposition continued, this time from a man named Tattenai, the governor of a nearby region. He wanted to stop the Israelites from building and worked to convince the Persian king, Darius, to stop the Israelites. Not only did King Darius not stop the rebuilding project, he threatened Tattenai and anyone else who would try to stop the temple from being rebuilt that he would kill them. Then he made Tattenai give funding, animals, and supplies to the Israelites. So the work continued, and almost 70 years after it had been destroyed, the Israelites finished rebuilding the temple. They dedicated it by sacrificing hundreds of animals to God and returning the priests back to their positions of leadership in the temple. God was once again worshipped in Jerusalem.
We wanted to stay on track with the story, so we wanted to show you the video, too. But what a wonderful scripture today as we do Rancho Santa Marta, because the folks who started Rancho Santa Marta from a pig farm have created a home for the children of Mexico. And Ezra, in the Old Testament, brought the people of God home to Jerusalem. And if that's all you remember about Ezra, that's all you need to know. Ezra brought the people of God home again to the temple, and how important it is that we create homes for one another. So much was said around the campfire about community, about this is like a family, and the church is meant to be a home for us all. So together in Christ, then, we are family. We are one. And that's been stated over and over again in so many ways. So remember this. Ezra brought the people of God home again. And when they were home, they could worship God freely. So that's all I'm going to say on that. You can read further in the story, and we will have more talk about that. But now if we could have, to God be the glory.
Let us stand together, please.
To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things He has done. With His blood He has saved me, with His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done.
Would you you please one more time give this team a big hand? These are the folks that made it happen. And you're the folks that made it happen, too. Thank you so, so much for your prayers. We felt them every minute. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, who calls us to serve and serve well and sacrificially every day, wherever we are, be with you, bless you, and give you his peace. Amen.